Welcome to Japan Top 10. This is episode 416, Japan Top 10, Indie Artist Interview number 11 with Sleepwalk Skeleton and Maidenfield. I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Dean.
Let's get into it. Japan Top 10.
Before we get into our interviews, we have a few announcements to make. Want to join our team? We currently have an opening for an audio editor slash content distributor and are urgently looking for someone to help us with this position. Join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for details.
Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners from around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Haley, by sending her an email at haley@jtop10.jp. That's Haley, H-A-Y-L-E-Y, at jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
Want to hear this episode announcement and ad-free? Consider joining our Patreon's donor club, starting at just $1 a month. A $1 if you're feeling fancy. Visit jtop10.jp/club for the details on all the great benefits of being a part of our Patreon club.
Yay.
There you have it. Yeah. So let's get into it. So this month, things are a little bit different.
Yeah.
New year, new us.
Yes.
And it just happened to work out that I ended up doing both interviews this time around.
Yes.
And here we are. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Well, Edward, I think I'll just leave you to it then. Bye.
Bye, Dean. Jane.
Jane. No.
Okay. So we have fun. So first up, we have Sleepwalk Skeleton. We originally were going to have them on in September of 2021, but due to the magic of COVID and how it is still wreaking havoc in our world, which... PSA, everyone, please get vaccinated and keep yourself and your loved ones safe. Wear a mask outdoors and indoors and everywhere that you see fit, and be socially distanced, and we'll get through this thing together.
Yes.
PSA over. So they originally wanted to get together and record the episode in one room, all four of them, but it didn't work out that way just because of COVID and New Zealand's very stringent COVID protocols. So they reached out to me again in late December being like, we're ready. And I'm like, great, January's around the corner. So it just worked out that way. Here we are. We got Sleepwalk Skeleton. Sleepwalk Skeleton are a band inspired by the Japanese music scene. Of course, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
Their diversity comes from their uniquely different backgrounds and musical taste. Sleepwalk Skeleton, formed by their love of Japanese rock and pop, or J-rock and pop, for those in the know, and they've continued to be inspired by music that is fun and energetic. And they're super excited to share their new passion project and their new single, I should say, Lighthouse, which is really cool because they have graciously given us an exclusive Japan Top 10 acoustic version of their single Lighthouse. So we're going to get a chance to hear that later on today. It's going to be fantastic. But also I recommend, too, as I do in the episode, that you should go check out all of their music and also the original version of Lighthouse because it's quite good, too. The music video is great. Like, high budget... great actor. She's super cool. It looks really, really neat. Like, you wouldn't know it's an indie band. Wow. Well, even then, actually, this brings me up to a question, Dean.
Yeah.
Maybe you can field this or speak to it. So, what is indie, really? You know what I mean? In this day and age?
Yeah.
Like, is that really a thing anymore, you think?
So, in this day and age, I mean, going back in the 90s, because that's where indie music became big all over the world, you know, Australia, where I'm from, had a huge indie music scene. Mm-hmm. Indie music basically was music that was released by bands on independent labels. So they weren't with the big multinational labels.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I do think the idea of indie, like in that connotation of whether you're signed to a major label or not, and what it meant in the 90s and 2000s,
yeah.
and it kind of petered out in like the 2010s, it's interesting to know now that it's like, okay, well, isn't everyone kind of indie, really? I mean, they still do have some major labels that are putting out records and stuff, or have that have artists backing them.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. But then more recently, too, I mean, Taylor Swift is a good example of this. I mean, she's definitely not indie, but she had to strike out on her own to get, like, her own masters back and all that stuff from Big Wheel or Big Rig Records. I can't remember the name of it. Apparently, Scooter Braun is a jerk. That's all I know. So
that's what I heard. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to care to get the name right. Don't at me, people. So because of that, though, it's interesting to see that basically anyone can do a record now. Anyone can do a single, a video, anything like that. And everything just looks so good. And we're all kind of almost on the same playing field in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just an interesting thing.
Hmm.
Anyway, so without further ado, let's get into the interview. I rhymed. Yes, please enjoy this interview with Sleepwalk Skeleton and me. So I am here with two band members of Sleepwalk Skeleton. I have Kevin, and the vocalist, and Ethan, the guitarist. Thank you so much for coming on the show with me.
Thank you.
I was about to say in different time zones from the future, but it's true. Right now you guys are in New Zealand, so obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. And it's finally worked out. We were talking a bit about this before the interview started.
Exactly.
But we originally tried to do this interview back in the fall of 2021, and then the pandemic kind of reared its head over there in New Zealand. So where are you guys at right now with the pandemic? What's happening?
We just got out of level 4 about a month back.
Yes.
Mm. Maybe a little earlier. Obviously at level 4 we weren't able to get together to get our music done or make any progress. But just chatting on Zoom or over the phone or stuff to continue whatever we could. Now it's so good to be back.
Yes.
And be able to high five my guitarist.
You guys can't see it because casting is an audio medium, but they most certainly did high five. Hopefully we'll be able to catch that on the audio. That's great. It's so important being together in person. I mean, when did you record anything? I guess you've only been rehearsing, I guess, so far. But, like, did you record anything over the pandemic through, like, sending tracks to each other? Like, how did it work for you?
We were working on a couple of next singles.
Yeah.
And we're still working on it. And during the lockdown and all, we have sent back and forth and started working on for the recording. Now we again be able to get together, so it's time to actually really push into next, I guess, step.
Yeah, and well, hopefully, knock on wood, another pandemic doesn't, or another lockdown doesn't happen, obviously, so you get a chance to actually record something.
Exactly. That would be.
And actually, you guys were doing some lives in the summer when you guys were a bit more open, right? In order to coincide with like the release of your latest single that you had, Lighthouse, which we'll get to in a little bit. Spoiler alert. So, Music in Parks, Fresh Takes, when you guys were there back in 2020, I believe, people really loved your live show and the energy. That was a while back, I know. It feels like it was probably before the pandemic. Oh no, 2020, we were still in it. Oh, that's depressing.
Yeah.
That's a little sad. But anyway, we were in a lifted lockdown at that point. So, but they really, really respond to the energy of your live shows there. So do you think that when we get back into the summertime, do you guys are going to go back on tour again with your new material? What are you thinking?
Yeah, at the moment, we're just back for next recording. So what happens right away, once we have got one, next one or two songs, we will start doing performance and places that are available for us. Hopefully people will get back by then, and unless Omicron hits bad again, so
yeah.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, so that's the hope, that's the plan, I guess, for what's gonna happen, what we're hoping to happen.
Yeah, being live really is the way to go, honestly. I mean, that's why we have, I mean, recording is obviously really great, and it's, you know, a way to get your art and preserve it, but there's nothing like being in the same space as other people and, you know, performing live and getting that energy back. So I really hope for your sake and for all musicians and bands' sake that we all get back to being in front of people and singing and dancing and high-fiving. So that'd be great. So going back even farther than 2020, I want to know, because our listeners want to know too, how did Sleepwalk Skeleton get its start?
A really long time ago. Yeah, that was a very long time ago. The band was formed, if I'm correct, at 2011-ish.
Wow, nice.
2011, yeah, it's been 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. At that time, it was just myself and three other friends, previous members, got together, and we were occasionally practicing and towards to Japanese animation cover songs. And we had one of the exhibition called Armageddon here, and we, when we performed at their stage, it was really good, and we had a really good feedback. People liked it, and that's when we actually pushed ourselves a bit further into working on more songs and spend more time on it. So the band has been going on since then, and throughout the time we've been having different members in and out. So obviously with different members you get different inspirations, and type of sound is a bit different, and how it kind of it naturally built up, and I think it's where we are now, working on our own songs, which we love.
Yes.
And yeah,
I would hope you love it if it's your own stuff. So I'm gonna pass it over to Ethan for a second. Ethan, how'd you get involved in the band?
I think it was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah,
it was two years ago. And you know, there's a website, and they're just looking for a guitar player, and then we just meet each other and join with a band. That's quite easy. And well, you know, not that interesting story, but we just meet each other and have a nice talk, then I join the band.
Yeah, but you were playing different type of music before.
Yeah,
right?
I played a totally different type of music.
Yeah.
Punk and metal.
Punk metal, heavy rock.
Yeah. So for me, it's quite challenging. But it looks so good now.
Yeah, I mean, well, it helps when you got a great teacher, right? You got someone just show you the ropes for both J-pop and J-rock. That's good. Actually, it's interesting because I listen to your music. It is very eclectic. Like, it really does pull from a lot of different genres, I find, in the rock world. How did you come up with your sound for your original music?
We are still in the journey of, in a way, finding our true sound, if I may. Better sound, I'll say. Obviously, listening and copying a lot of J-pop, and we are influenced by the type of genre and type of feel in the music. But within it, we try to have our own uniqueness, if it makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So, not to limit it what we have done, but hoping for more sounding, different soundings in the future.
Well, I mean, it's always good to evolve and grow, right? I mean, just like how your band evolves and grows, obviously the music does too. So I think that's really, really great. It's good, and it should. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't feel very creatively fulfilling or or very fun to
exactly.
There you go. So let's actually jump into your latest sound, or the most latest release that we've done. So we have Lighthouse, which was originally released in July 20th, 2021. You can check out the music video online. It's on YouTube. It's great. It's very cool. I love that you got an actual lighthouse to shine. I'm like, yes, there's a budget in this video. It's so good. And the actress is great too.
Wow.
It's really, really cool to see.
That's
very cool.
That's great to hear.
So why don't we talk a little bit about that song before we jump into the special treat you have for us. What inspired you to write Lighthouse? or what's it about for you?
Lighthouse is, to me, about memory and how I guess everybody has their own memories, whether it's bad or good.
Mm-hmm.
And that what I wanted to tell in the story was that either you got yourself in trouble or any sort of situation, the memories and things that have been making who you are a treasure, and those are either good or bad,
mm-hmm.
Should be a motivation to yourself.
Mm.
So I guess that's the main core. But again, everybody is different when they listen to it. Hopefully, people will interpret different way.
Mm-hmm.
If they can find their own meaning from the song, I think that's the purpose of this song.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the purpose of every song. It's very true. I love that. It really does come across. And like I said earlier, listeners, you get the chance to go find it. Well, you should go find it on YouTube. Go find the original version. It's got really great drums backing it. It really gives like a really cool sense of urgency and a really different dynamic shift. But as a special treat, Sleepwalk Skeletons has graciously recorded a version, an acoustic version, just for us, for our listeners, and we'd like to present it to you now. So here is Lighthouse by Sleepwalk Skeleton.
Thank you. けど記憶に残るだけ誇りを吹いてその中の僕らに出会うんだ止まってるその時計そのままだよ君がいないと意味はない泣いても怒っても寂しく笑っても君の光は照らすかすかな香りはもう痛くないよだけど記憶に残るだけ誇りを吹いてその中の僕らの覗き込んだ怖い夜を越える時見つかった希望無重力の部屋で君だけのリュックサックに入れて一歩踏み出してみて
Awesome. Great. Yay. Yes, thumbs up all around.
Was it all right?
We are thumbs upping. So, moving on. Absolutely. So, are there artists outside of J-pop that like kind of inspire you? Like, for example, I'm really going to take it out of left field here. Once Nicki Minaj said in an interview that when she tries to sing, she listens to Enya. Enya is like a new age artist who famously did like Orinoco Flow or Only Time. And that music is so far removed from what Nicki Minaj does. She's a rapper and this like very soft and ethereal. So like that got me thinking, I'm like, I wonder. So are there artists or is there music outside of the realm of J-rock that kind of inspire you to write or perform? This goes to both of you.
The band Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah, Smashing Pumpkins. Yes, love them.
Yeah.
So good.
It was the one of the main reasons when it made me play guitar. And this, again, the J-Rock song, but X-Japan was the next band that got me really into playing guitar and writing a song and music and stuff.
Interesting.
I think you guys have been hearing about the Dream Theater.
Yeah, Dream Theater, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite band and always I can't stop listening to them songs and get a lot of deep thinking from them.
That's true. And actually they've got such depth to it and there's just so much. It's so meaty. Dream Theater. Muses too, actually now I think about it, Muse and Dream Theater are a little bit similar, but they're both very like, it's, you know, gigantic, operatic, ridiculous, bombastic, like epic. But also it feels so personal in a way. It's very strange because you could really get into the minutia of it and it's really satisfying. And I love the Pumpkins too. I love nothing more than being sad and melancholy and listening to some Smashing Pumpkins. Also, that melancholy joke is a reference to melancholy. So, you know, fun joke for fans of the Pumpkins. There you go. That's cool. Yeah. So what do you enjoy the most about creating music? Or what's your favorite part of the process?
A favorite part would be writing the lyrics for my personal... reason would be because it's about throwing a message. I see making a music is not much different to creating a poetry with a few different instruments and how you get it done, but having abstract imagery in my mind into something physical. What did I say? Physical? So it's music?
Something real and tangible.
That procedure is, to me, still amusing. And how people react to the songs that we make and whether they appreciate it or give feedback or anything goes. It's really good procedure. So writing a song especially and throwing a message into it, it's my personal favorite part of it.
Yeah, quite similar.
Awesome. Love that.
I really like the ideas. The author of my mind, so it's like I didn't create it, I just follow it and done with them.
That's interesting. There's actually an aspect to all of it, but I really resonate with the idea that there's like a message that you really want to get across, and just like the fact that it still does resonate with people or your I don't know about you, but when I'm writing music, it sounds a little selfish to say, I'm writing it, you know, for myself and for the catharsis of it, right? Because it feels good to write it. But then also when you finally realize that people like get it and they latch onto it and you're like, oh, right, I forgot. People are listening and they know and they enjoy it and there is no better feeling. It's like magic every time. It really, really is.
Yeah. Exactly. Very addictive.
Let's jump into Stardust. So Stardust was a track that you guys released in August of 2020. So what prompted that track to come about, Stardust?
It's about a person to... I guess it's... Every song that I write about is how I felt and how I imagined around that time of, I would say, maybe my life period. Mm-hmm. Around that time of my life. And I think I wanted to write about something that you can cross the message to one person to another that you like or love feeling, and not being able to do that. A lot of people out there still, maybe they're shy or they have their own reasons, so they not be able to cross their message to one loved one.
Yep.
And I wanted to write something about the desperation and how it would feel to not be able to say. And the lyrics, it's a bit of fantasy. I've covered all the lyrics with a sort of fantasy, like covered song with it.
Yeah.
And it's about parallel world where I can't say something now, but the other world I want to say to that person. So it's throwing a message from one to another.
Ah, interesting. Okay, yeah. So it's like a real dialogue between like the self that can't do what it wants to do and the one that does or can.
Yeah.
Like it's really almost like Kato Mui, a little bit of unrequited love kind of a situation, but also like the shyness and the emotion. Oh, that's good. I love that. That's great. And on one song, no less. Very impressive.
Yeah.
And the music video actually is really fascinating. So, listeners, once again, go check out YouTube, Sleepwalk Skeletons. But the music video is great. It actually has a fantastic dancer. Oh, gosh, whose name escapes me at the moment. But I did look her up. She's great. A lot of great modern dance. What prompted that choice for the music video to go with a modern interpretive dance style?
When we finished recording and have the final product, and I was looking for the right person to do the music video, and I happened to know the lady from a previous event, and I gave her the song and then asked her what she thought about and how she would dance to the song. Initially, we were going to have her dressed like a clown,
with the Piero
clown, all the clown makeup and with dressing. But she came back and said, oh, okay, let's try that. I think that's how a lot of her input was in as far as the dancing and movement coordination goes. And I really loved it.
Really creative.
Yeah, it turned out really, really well. I love, actually, now you mentioned the whole Piero clown thing, that explains the makeup with the smile, with the lipstick.
True.
It's very...
True. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because I was like, is this like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, it's a good choice.
So I wanted to have the makeup to be done, and yeah, it kind of shows different sort of emotion to what she could have. And so I wanted to have bigger, stronger makeup.
So go check it out with the wonderful visuals, or lucky you, listeners, you get to listen to it right now. So here is Stardust by Sleepwalk Skeleton. We'll be right back.
上げれば向こうの世界の光理由もなくただ会いたくて君の顔を描くんだお互い照れ屋さんなんでどうでも必死にならなきゃどうしてもこの手の中で思いを包み込んだよした僕の胸少しだけの光が輝く僕の世界を震えてしまう体も寒くなるこの心も前に現れた嵐は遥か次の世界に虹の色が横から絡まったこの体を時を越えて宇宙を越えて握ってるこの手紙もそうしないと周りの光に食わされ激しく揺れる時この体は砂になって100万人の君に伝えるよ何も
So what can we expect from you guys coming up next? I know you're working on recording new music, but is there, what else do you have planned for 2022?
We aim to release two or if can three songs this year. Yeah. I think a lot of people might already know, but a lot of musicians are working harder behind the stage than on the stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like recording, working on the new songs and meetings and planning and stuff. So that will pretty much occupy a lot of hours and days and months for next year or so. And we are going to try to be more active in our YouTube and Facebook, hopefully.
Yeah,
maybe podcast or YouTube by ourselves.
Ah,
casual sort of podcasting. We're thinking about it, and this is one of our plans to hopefully achieve.
That's great. That's so exciting. We'll definitely keep us posted on that, and we'll definitely have to have you guys back when your podcast explodes, and then I will go on your show.
Exactly. Other way around, I'll be... Yeah.
Absolutely. And so where can people find you so when your stuff comes out, they can be ready?
Mostly on Spotify and YouTube will be the first point of contact. And Facebook and Instagram would be the next. Yes, I have my own Instagram, not just with the band, but I'd update mostly on my personal.
What is it? Cool. Tell the world. We'll slide into your DMs. It won't be embarrassing at all.
It's called Kevin Initiate. So Kevin is my name. I was thinking about continuing a bigger word. So Initiate start from I, right?
Yeah.
So it's Kevin, I has got in the middle.
All right.
Nice. Kevin Initiate. It's my...
I love that. It's great. Little play on words. That's
exactly. So that will be my personal Instagram, but I usually update most of the band stuff, music related. So if something happened or some new news or album get released, there will be another point of contact.
And Ethan, where can people find you if you want them to?
Well, that's quite hard actually.
I didn't put
anything in a website. Even my Facebook channel is just a few photos. That's all.
He's mysterious.
Find the Kevin, then you guys can find me.
I like that. That's great. That's good. Someone has to be the mysterious one in the band. So yeah, if it's you, I mean, you're kind of blowing your cover now because you're on this interview with us. But you know, it's all good. So finally, to close out our interview, which has been lovely, thank you. What is one message that you'd want to say to all of the fans out there or anyone who just loves music in general?
I'd like to say that nowadays internet is there, so any sound or music that you want to get, you can easily get it, and wherever you are and whenever you are, those music and soundings can be a small treasure to the person. And I hope that this music and sounding could give you a bit of joyness, not just about our music, but in general, help them go through this time of difficulties. And lastly, thank you so much though for listening. It's a bit late. I should have said first, but for listening to us and such a warm interview there.
Thank you. And thank our listeners will be thanking you, I'm sure, after they've heard this wonderful interview and after they've heard your wonderful music, and they go find you online, whether you're in your personal DMs or on the actual official website, or sorry, just the official social media. It's very true. Music now is so worldwide and so universal, because even though you guys are based out of New Zealand, you are releasing, J-pop, J-rock kind of stuff, which, if we were looking at, let's say, 20 years ago even, that wouldn't be a thing, right?
No,
you'd have
exactly.
to go to Japan and do it and sign with a label and the whole thing. So the fact now you can really do it on your own and have success and have people really respond to your music from all over the world, and then go do lives in New Zealand and do anime conventions and go do bigger stuff. It's pretty amazing, It's a real testament to the power of music and the power of having an awesome band and one that changes and grows. So it's thank you for taking the time today.
Not at all.
To come talk with us. Yeah, it was great. It's a real pleasure. So thank you so much, and hopefully we'll have you back soon.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
ありがとうございます。
どういたしまして。So, there you go. That was Sleepwalk Skeleton. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was so great to talk with Kevin and Ethan. Kevin is the vocalist, of course, and Ethan is the guitarist. And it was really cool to watch the journey of how, or watch, listen, because podcasting is an audio medium, listening to the journey of how Sleepwalk Skeleton came to be and where they're at now and where they're going. So definitely keep an eye out for Sleepwalk Skeleton. Go check out the material everywhere. It's on Spotify, YouTube, and make sure you keep an eye out for what they're going to do next, because they're going to be releasing some big stuff soon.
Great. Can't wait.
I can't either. I'm really excited. So up next, we have Maidenfield. Dean, if you remember, Maidenfield, I originally talked with him in May last year.
Is it that long ago?
I think in the interview... It feels like, I think at one point I make a joke in the interview, if you, well, Dean is editing this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dean. I think I made a joke where I was like, oh, it was like 2019 since we last saw each other. And he's like, huh? I'm like, wait, no, it's not. It's 2020. I don't know what year it is. 2021. Like, I don't know what year, what time it is, because we're in 2022 right now.
Yeah.
2021 doesn't feel like 2021. It feels like it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Honestly, and everything before the pandemic feels like a lifetime, honestly. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, it does. Yes. Different era.
Absolutely, it is. But we know we're still in it. We're thriving, surviving.
It's getting good. By.
And Maidenfield is thriving too. So for those of you guys that didn't listen to that episode, you should go back and listen to it. But just in case, I will recap really quickly. So Maidenfield is also, that's JJ's stage name. He's a British music producer who lives in Tokyo. He writes his own material, and he's also ghostwritten, produced, toured, and recorded with a variety of artists, including The Gazette, The Brilliant Green, Tommy February, TM Revolution, Abingdon Boys School, and Asian Kung Fu Generation, as well internationally with Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and Carly Rae Jepsen. In the previous episode we did in May, we talked about some of that stuff, like what Taylor Swift was like and what's it like working at TM Revolution and Tommy. So definitely, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, and you're jonesing for more me and more Maidenfield, go check out that episode. It is excellent, if I do say so myself. Maidenfield wrote the music and composed for Startup Girls, which is a movie that was released quite a while back. But he also has just recently released a soundtrack with the anime that just came out, started on January 9th, called Rusted Armors.
Oh, wow.
And we talk a lot about that. Very exciting. He actually mentioned this project because it was still in the works in our interview back in May, and now it's finally happened. It's done.
Oh, wow.
So we talk a lot about that and about that process. It's super cool. If you want to go find it in the Western world, look it up on Amazon Prime, where you can find it. And it's really, really good, and it's really interesting to talk about. The way the story is set, I'm not going to give too much away because Maidenfield's going to talk about it, but it's set in, like, olden times Japan, and there is... it's a Japanese and Spanish kind of story where there's like the conquistadors that come over, and it's like a whole battle, very samurai type thing. It's really cool.
Okay.
It's not very good explanation, but when you hear the interview, you'll get it.
Okay.
It is fantastic. Or, you know, watch the anime.
Or watch the anime.
I'm doing a great job. Anyway, he is also the MC for the new TV show on NHK World called Soundscapes of Japan, where he goes to places in Japan, records ambient sounds, and at the end of the show, makes them into a song.
Oh, wow.
So we talked about this, too.
Mm.
Yeah, so our two big thrusts of this interview was Rusted Armors and Soundscapes of Japan. So get ready for a lot of that. It's very cool and very fascinating.
Wow.
We get into the whole songwriting process. What's it like using organic sound?
Mm.
How does he come up with the ideas? All that fun stuff. So it's a really, really interesting interview, a bit of a deep dive.
Right.
And I hope everyone enjoys.
Right.
So Maidenfield and me. I am here with Maidenfield, or JJ, as I also know you.
That's right.
Nice
Hello.
To see you again. Hi.
Great to see you. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm not bad. How long has it been? About 6 months or so?
We saw each other last in May.
May.
So
right. 8 months now.
Not good. Yeah. There you go.
Ish.
You're good at math. It took me a minute.
Golly,
ironically, you're both musicians.
It's like eight better lifetimes. Accounting. Yeah.
Totally.
Time. Incredible.
It really, really is. Really, really good. Yeah. How about you? You've been clearly busy.
Yeah, been pretty busy. I'm really grateful to do this interview now, today, because things have been going on, building up to, like, pretty much this week, which is great. So, yeah, very happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. No, we're so glad to have you. I'm so glad that you came back. So actually, let's just jump right into it. So yeah. In our interview in May, you had talked about there's an anime that you were working with.
Yes.
And now it's finally here. Rusted
yes,
Armors. Yes.
It has been released. Yeah, it's called Sabi Iro no Arma in Japanese, and they translated that to Rusted Armors in English. I had a thing with the S on the end. I think they should just kept it armor, but never mind. Rusted Armors.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just been it's just aired last week. 9th of January is the first episode in Japan on a whole bunch of TV stations and also Amazon Prime. So I'm hoping internationally it'll be on Amazon Prime at some point quite soon. I'm pushing heavily to make sure that they do that because I really think they need to push the international side of this. Anime is worldwide.
Oh, for sure.
It's not just Japan. They've got to think worldwide. So I'm pushing them about that. But yeah, it's
That's
been
great.
An amazing labor of love. I mean, it's been years now, maybe 2 years, I think, in the process for me, and probably even longer for the director. These things take that long to make. So it's been incredible. But yeah, that's just been released. It'll be over the course of the next 12 weeks, one episode per week. I'm also the MC for a new TV show on NHK World, which is called Soundscapes of Japan. And that was something that we came up with, a friend of mine, George, and I, about 4 years ago as a concept we pitched to NHK, and they agreed to it just at the beginning of the pandemic, and we had to stop all process until the pandemic basically ended, which kind of never happened. So kind of halfway through they said, you know what, it was a pilot, but we're just going to green light it, let's go, let's start it, which was amazing. So I go to various locations in Japan. We just choose a town or a village or a city or an area of a city. I go and record ambient sounds with a microphone, take them back into my studio and make a song out of the sounds I've heard as a kind of a dedication to the place I've visited. So it's like a little 15-minute show with the song at the end every episode. And it's lovely. All the people I know in the team are all people I've worked with before. We kind of came up with the concept ourselves together. So it's all really in-house. It's brilliant. Really, really nice.
That's so cool. Hopefully, it'd be actually really neat if that gets made into something that can be put onto like Netflix, I think. Because there actually is a real clamoring and a hunger for like a specific localized show or like small areas that we don't really get a chance to hear about in other parts of the world. Like small towns in Japan, I think, are really fascinating. We don't get to hear about them enough. So what inspires you when you're doing the specific songs from like a locale? Like, what is the kernel that you take, and then what kind of inspires you to grow it into a song?
Yeah, okay, so the first episode we did, we were so, all of us were so excited because this had been, you know, years in the process. I went there so thrilled and happy and excited. I was expecting the song to kind of come out that way, like thrilled and happy, excited, and thank you for the opportunity, it's an emotional release, all that kind of stuff. But I said to them before we went, there's a tendency for these shows, when you go and record ambient sounds, it's easy to record like a clang sound, like a smack of a door or something. And that can become a snare or a clap sound, like a rhythmic sound. That's easy. But the tendency is then just to make that a kind of a loop. Make it like a kind of an Ableton Live-y ambient type track, which is absolutely fine. I listen to plenty of that kind of music. But I suggested to them, all TV shows will do that kind of platform. Why don't we try and make a song that can be an actual song? Like, we could even put a melody to it, a vocal, and make it a verse, bridge, chorus type track. Like a proper piece of music. How about we aim for that kind of song, rather than just like a sort of a bit of music, like a filler instrumental? And they were like, yeah, you do whatever you want to do. I'm like, really? Can I really do whatever I want to do? They're like, yeah, seriously, do what you think you'd like to do. You're an electronic music producer, just make your thing. I said, great, because if I was Elton John doing this, I would go to the town and I'd come back and play something on my piano, probably. I wouldn't just use, you know, Japanese sounds like shamisen or something. I would stay being Elton John. If I was Ed Sheeran, I'd go with my acoustic guitar, and the chances are you'd get an acoustic guitar song with references of the town. If I was Yoshiki going to Los Angeles, I'd probably take my piano and my drum kit, and I'd probably start with one of those too. Probably. So that's what I said to them. I'll probably be using maybe a piano bass and then put things on top of that we've come up with in the town or city. And that's how I've approached it. I'll just stay being me, but with sounds from the town or village, rather than just only using really overtly obvious Japanese stuff, for example. So that's the way we approached that part of it, which was really nice for me. It allowed me to try and make a proper piece of music, like a proper song I could release as Maidenfield if I wanted to, rather than it's just like a piece of filler stuff for a TV show. That was really nice.
Yeah. Are you going to be recording more episodes of that? I guess maybe not until summer, perhaps? Or...
Yeah, so, it would be close to one every 2 months, I think, if there was no problem with the pandemic, which is exceptional. I've just done the one in Tsubame Sanjo, which is in Niigata, just before all the snow. And the one we've just done about 3 weeks ago was in Asakusa, which is in Tokyo. It's the area with a really nice temple, and it's a very sort of traditional area. They do a lot of shoemaking there, traditional shoemaking, traditional lace making, traditional the socks that go inside the geta, the white socks. They make a lot of traditional things there. So that's what we did for the last episode. I just finished that song maybe 5 days ago. And then the next episode, this is ultra hush hush, but I'm going to be going back to somewhere that I know very well, if I can say that much, which is again an amazing thing for me. I've never shot professionally in this place, and I love this place more than I love anywhere in the whole world. So it's really nice for me to be able to go back there finally with music and do something there. So that's continuing, which is awesome. At the same time as I'm doing this Rasadama's soundtrack. And so this whole thing about being a musician, a foreign musician, in Japan is now just kind of coming together in the way that I kind of always imagined it would or hoped it would, which is awesome.
Let's talk a bit about the Rusted Armors really quick, a tiny bit,
sure.
Since we may as well.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into our first song. So Rusted Armors itself, a long time coming. You talked a bit about it last year in May.
Yes.
So now it's done and now you're doing a lot of press for it. Actually, it's really interesting that it's coming out in like an episodic order every week. Have you noticed that lately now things are kind of getting back into that kind of a not a binge style?
It's
getting to be
that.
Very episodic. It's fascinating to me. So
it is
I'm really interested to see what's going to come out next.
Yeah. At the moment for this one, specifically because it's TV based, that was always going to be the platform. But I actually originally thought it was going to be a movie. I was told it was going to be an anime movie. And I don't know if it changed halfway through or if it just was always going to be that I just didn't know. I'm actually not sure. I also, when I first started it, I don't think I thought it was going to be as big as it is. I believed it was quite a small project, like a bunch of indie people doing something cool together. And it just became suddenly like exiles involved now. And like all this huge major label stuff's happening. It's on mainstream TV and it's like, oh my God. So it's kind of weird to be involved in this because I think since I began, I believe it's just escalated and grown. Or maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. But you know, the pandemic has meant that I haven't been able to meet any of these people. It's been almost entirely on Zoom. Every call we've had about what they want from the songs, what they want me to do, has all been Zoom based, apart from a couple of really strategic recording moments, which are incredible. It's all on the website, so I can give away part of the story. There's two feuding brothers, and one of them, they've both been raised in Hispania, in old Europe, and one of them has come back to live in Japan, and the other one has stayed in Europe, and has now come back as a conquistador, trying to pillage and plunder and destroy Japan and suppress it, bend it to their will. And so it's a feud between these two brothers. That's what the story is. So being half Spanish, this is kind of cool. And they called me up this one day and they said, would you be able to, I don't know how to ask this, but could you make like a kind of a old Spanish sounding song, like a small village up in the mountains of Spain that we could have someone sing. I'm like, I literally am half from a guy who comes from a small village in Spain. So yes, I could. They're like, really? And it was so funny. So yeah, I made them this little Spanish ditty, and even with the name of my village that my mum comes from in Spain. And they used it. They're like, great, this is great. Thank you very much. Could you come and hear the recording? I'm like, it's being recorded? Like, yeah. So I went in to record, and his back was to me, but it was one of the exile characters was singing my little Spanish song in Spanish into the microphone as if he's narrating. So he's like, he's in the scene is he's in a hot spring, a public bath, and he's just relaxing, singing this song he used to sing as a kid with his mum. So he's like kind of half sort of humming it and half singing it as he's remembering the song, recording the song. But that was my track. So that was one of the moments that I heard them, you know, really using my song in actually the production, which was amazing. And the first time I actually met the director as well was that day, like properly face to face, was that moment. So it was quite cool.
Super cool. I love that. Oh my gosh, you're full of so many amazing stories, and that's just like another one on top of the list. So great. Thank you for sharing that. And we'll jump back into more about Rusted Armors and the trials and tribulations that is recording in the pandemic in just a second.
Yes.
But I do want to jump into and take a little song break, if that's cool with you.
Oh yeah, please.
We're actually going to listen to one of the songs that we released back in May in our episode. We're going to hear it again because it's just so good. We're going to hear it twice. So here is Love with a D featuring Kino by Maidenfield, which was released on August 4th, 2020. Enjoy.
Millions and millions of pieces to the one thing I have to do. The trouble with dreaming this deep is I'm losing myself inside of you. Millions and millions of reasons why I wish I could carry on. But I get the feeling my feelings have told me I'm moving on. Love with the D. For all the hope I've burned, all the fires I've cried, for all the pain that lived and all the joy that died, just couldn't make you see me in the way that I feel. For all the tears I've broken, all the glass I've bled, all the chips that cut me, all the things I've said, I just couldn't make you need me in the way that I need you. I just couldn't make you love me in the way that I could you. Complications to who we are. To think they are all necessary is not gonna take us very far. Millions and millions of reasons why I wish I could carry on. But I've lost the feeling I needed to keep on keeping on. Love with the deep. For all the hope I've burned, all the fires I've cried, for all the pain I've lived and all the joy that died, I just couldn't make you see me in the way that I see.
Good to hear that song again. It's
Thank
so
you.
Yeah.
Actually, that's perfect because the shamisen sounds and the strumming sounds in there, I use some of those sounds in the anime soundtrack. It's lovely that my little way of doing Japanese sounds has now been sort of recognized. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, but I've been able to continue that into what I'm doing with Soundscapes of Japan, the TV show, and also now with the anime. I'm really, really happy about that part.
How did you feel as a foreigner coming into this space? Did you feel like you had to give it some kind of respect in order for you to be like, okay, I'm working with a Kodo, I'm working with a taiko drum? How did you find a way to make it sound organic enough for you and natural enough that didn't feel like you were just like, I'm playing a drum set, but it's supposed to be a taiko drum? Like, how did that come about for you? What was that like?
Absolutely. Certainly with the travel shows that I've done for NHK, where I will visit places where they actually make the shamisen or they make the taiko, and I meet the people who are building these instruments and who are playing them, I will often ask them this kind of question. I mean, you know, I'm sat here right now in a pair of jeans. I'm not American, but I wear jeans like it's an everyday part of my life, and so do all Japanese people. I don't think we're all one, right? We're all the same. The village in Spain, the village in somewhere in Japan, we're all the same. So I can go somewhere and see a plucked instrument that looks like a guitar, that in some way sounds like a guitar, but it's not a guitar, and I can play it with references like a guitar, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's no problem. And they love that. They want to sell more instruments. They want more people to love shamisen. They want international people to love shamisen. They want people to do clever things with the shamisen, put it through distortion, put it through a filter, see what happens. They want that to happen. When we went to Tsubame Sanjo, when you watch the episode, you'll see a hand pan is being used. It's this big round, looks like a saucepan, and you play it, you tap it on the other side of a saucepan. I went there and heard about this, and I actually thought going in this was a Japanese instrument. It's not. I think it's an Austrian instrument, actually. And people all over the world are using it. But I thought this might be some new kind of Japanese instrument. So I went in there sort of assuming that. And that's not the case. They've taken it and made it feel in some ways Japanese or feel specific to this town. They make it using the iron from this town, and they make it all about this town. That's perfect. That's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Mm. So I do feel a sense of I want to maintain the integrity in some things. I actually talk about this in the first song I did for The Bad Guy. It starts with a pluck of a shamisen. I'm bending the string. It sounds really kind of ethereal and just bad guy vibes, clearly. Like, this sounds like a bad thing is going to happen next. And I don't know if that's necessarily integral to what shamisen is supposed to be about, but the real Tsugaru shamisen, the way you'd play that back in the day, 200-300 years ago, was blind people would play it, and they'd play it on the streets as loud and as attacky as they could to try and encourage people to give them money. The louder they were, the sadder they sounded, the more pained they sounded, the more chance they got of a response. That's the story that was told to me when I went to the factory in the place where they build these things. And that's incredible. And then you see the lady play it in her kimono, with a backdrop of the snow, cold area, very unforgiving climate, and you can imagine blind people playing these things hundreds of years ago, and it's quite emotional. So it does actually, the thread is right there from them to me. I can feel that thread, and I can just continue it on. So I it's a combination of respect and trying to do something maybe a little bit different, a little bit special. And I'm super happy to go in there as a club music producer and try and combine that with my kind of music. I have no problem doing that. I love doing that. That's how new things are made. You know, has Iranian hip-hop been morphed and spliced with Japanese shamisen? No? I hope someone does it. I hope someone does it. Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I agree.
New things happen that way. Ed Sheeran made a track recently, or not so recently, but maybe a couple of years ago, which had a whole Celtic vibe to it, right? He wanted to combine those two things, and it worked perfectly. Why not? Absolutely, why not?
We got to get into another song here. Actually, it's the new one that you just released, last year.
Yes.
I don't think we featured this one. So Way Too Deep, featuring, is it Psy? I want to get it
yes.
right.
Yes.
Psy.
It's Psy. X-A-I, Psy. That's right.
Perfect, I got it right. So, it was released on February 19th, 2021. What, before we jump into it and listen to it, because it's your latest one, what can you tell us about it?
This one was a co-write with Psy, actually, in the studio. She came over and we sat down, we just started talking. The way I do it these days is we talk for a while and a theme will come out of the conversation. So we talk for half an hour, someone will say something, they go, ooh, that could be a title. That right there sounds like a title. And we were talking, and I think she said something like the word deep, just fukai. I thought, oh, that's just the way we're talking. That's interesting. Now, deep, do you mean you're too deep as in it's too deep to get back out again? Or I'm so happy that this love is so deep. Like, which one are you? And she said, I'm so happy this love is so deep. I'm like, huh, I'm this one. I'm too deep to be able to get out of. So why don't we make a song about that? And she's like, okay, cool. That's how it came about. So actually, this song is the English version, which you're about to play. In about a week's time, we're recording the Japanese version.
Oh, that's so great.
Which
oh, man.
Might
well,
be the other version, the I'm So Deep In Love.
Oh, that would be so great. And will be, I'm curious to know, actually, will it be the same instrumental? Are you going to like do any reworking with that, you think?
Great
to kind of
question.
Reflect it?
Great question. I think it'll be the same. I think. Mm. We're just talking about that, though. We're just talking about it.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to give too much away.
Yes. Another reason is because we're also doing another song, another brand new song. It's another, like, a single for something coming up. So we're just beginning to work on that now.
I love that. It's like off of the springboard of this anime into the next thing.
Correct. So exactly. Yeah. Keep it going.
You gotta keep it moving all the time. Exactly. So in that case, let's listen to it right now. It's the English version. This is Maiden Field featuring Psy, Way Too Deep.
Open up and tell you, show you everything I need to believe, yeah. And if I could believe, let me castle on the table, wasn't until I was able to breathe, yeah. Come make the hearts breaking easier, my memories heavier, the more that I try to forget, yeah. Come break a cycle so nuclear, you don't even need a spark to start a fire that'll destroy you and me, yeah. It's been like heaven, a joy like hell. If there's a lesson, better learn it where. And once you have seen all the lying, it's gonna be all that you see. And once you have started to cry and look for me.
I'm way too deep, deep, deep.
Look a face in a mirror. The surface, don't know how to find a purpose that fits, yeah. Without all the fear, I was telling what I stand for. I could live or what I live for sure. It's been like heaven, a joy like hell. If there's a lesson, better learn it where. And once you have seen all the lying, it's gonna be all that you see. You have started to die and look for me.
I'm way too deep, deep, deep.
Look a face in a mirror.
I'm way too deep, deep.
Couldn't be any clearer. Breaking easier, my memory's heavier, the more that I try to forget, yeah. Come break a cycle so nuclear, you couldn't be lonelier.
Hopefully, next time you're on, we can definitely listen to the Japanese version, and then we can do like a little compare contrast.
That would be really awesome. Cool. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. And hopefully next time I've done a few more of the TV shows as well, so I can play some more songs from there, and some from the anime as well. The anime, they're making a soundtrack now, and I'm very hopeful that probably April, there'll be the soundtrack will come out on CD. And also a couple of extra theme songs for some of the characters. And if I'm really lucky, I don't know who's singing yet, but some of the voice characters, including the Exile guys, might be singing, which would be brilliant. I don't know for sure, but I'm quite hopeful. Fingers crossed on that.
fingers crossed for sure. Because yeah, the thing is, like, once you, if you do an anime, it does really, really well, and you get like image CDs, drama CDs, and then just explodes from there. Because then it could be a video game, it could be a movie, it could be a live action. Like, honestly, it's kind of asking for a live action, truly.
Oh,
I feel like it could do that. I feel like it could.
That would be incredible. For sure. What was really lovely, and I don't necessarily think he was talking about me. In fact, he probably wasn't. But the director on stage for the they had the premiere screening the other day for the first episode, and all the, you know, the characters were on stage, and the director, and they had like an interview question answer session, and in the, like, the final comments, you give this one last final comment, they all go down the line saying, you know, hope you love the drama, it was great fun working on it, you know, please enjoy. The last one is the director, and one of the things he said very specifically was, I really want you to listen to the music, I'm really proud of what we've done exonically. And I was sat there going, why? You didn't have to say that. Why has he said that? That's interesting.
Because you're good at this. It's you.
I found that quite bizarre. Like, it's, wow. Like, he wasn't calling me out. He might not even have been
maybe
talking about me. But it's
who
just,
knows?
He seems to be proud of what sonically this thing has done, which is really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. And actually, well, it's a testament to how great your work is and how great the whole team's work is. And also, too, music is a huge part of an anime. It's so integral. I mean, like, you know, opening themes and ending themes are absolutely the calling card of an anime as well.
It really
but, like,
is.
It's the background and it's the glue that holds together the scene. Truly.
It really is. And some people, some directors want you to have music that actually fits the scene, as in encourages you to, you know, when the slice of the samurai goes across the screen, you have music that goes up to that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it just drums playing, nothing to do with what's on the screen? Everyone is slightly different. Everyone is different. I had to ask them what they wanted. But what was interesting about this one, when they had the kind of the rough edit of what they wanted, they would come into the studio and put music and sound effects to that scene.
Mm.
And in that moment, there's 10 decision makers in the studio, all going, too long, volume needs to be lower, volume needs to be higher, needs to be different song. And they all start talking, they all start saying, you know, this is TV, it has to be this level, it needs to be more aggressive, it needs to be less aggressive, it needs to be more. And they had this whole back and forth. And it's really interesting because one guy is always about needs to be quieter. And another guy is always about needs to be more aggressive. And they're entrenched in their camps, and they kind of get to a compromise. Every decision is like that for anything in life, I'm sure of that. But it was interesting watching specifically about audio, how 10 people can have wildly differing views about what has to happen. Really interesting how that played out. Very cool.
Yeah, but so, yeah, clearly it worked. I mean, look at the end result, and everyone, like I said, make sure you go and find it. Go listen and watch.
Yeah.
First episode, I guess, is already out. But when this comes out, another episode might be out actually by then.
On Sunday.
But anyway.
That's right. Yep. The another episode will be out by the time this airs, which is great. Which will be in
perfect
total for me about 9 songs played so far, something like that, which is kind of cool.
Yes. So I'm everyone keep score at
doing,
home.
Yes. I'm actually trying to get permission to do YouTube tutorials on how I made the songs as they air on this show. So I've just done a tutorial now for the Bad Guy song, which played in episode 1. And I sent it to them yesterday. And if they're okay with it, I'll put it up on YouTube in the next, you know, week or so. So you'll be able to hear it there and hear and watch like how I made the song. I just want to make sure I can use all the Rusted Armor's logos and all the, you know, all the anime characters and stuff, because they're all in there. It makes it look really cool.
I'll
show you how I made the
cool
track. And it talks about these, you know, combining Japanese elements with Western elements. And, you know, this drama is about Japanese and foreign elements at war. So it's perfect for someone like me to come make that soundtrack, I think, and hope.
So on that note,
yes,
I think we're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately, because we could talk forever, I know.
We could,
absolutely.
I know, we could,
yes.
And we probably should.
Yes, we should. we'll have to do this again.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I mean, I could talk about this for hours. I mean, to be able to go to places in Japan and make music and you know, listen to the environment and take ambient sounds and bring that back to the studio and then use some of those for the next project, which might be size way too deep, is really cool. It's really inspiring for me, and I hope it's inspiring for other people out there who might be wanting to do something similar at some point, you know? Like, wouldn't it be cool to go to, you know, Hiroshima and record sounds, or go to Fukushima and record, and you dedicate it to Fukushima You know, wouldn't that be cool for someone out there?
Yeah, that would be super cool. And yeah, maybe you need a co-host. Maybe I'll just show up there someday.
That's right. That would be, yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. Document the whole process. Hey, if you're ever in Japan, once this is over, let's hope in 6 months from now this is all gone, summer festival season, we go to somewhere really hot like Okinawa and we sit on the beach and record some ambient sounds in the town in Okinawa. How about that? Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that would be great. I am so down for that. Okay. You guys hear her first.
let's talk to some decision makers over at the podcast, get some budget together, and let's do it.
For sure. Yeah, we'll see about that. I would love that very much. Okinawa is great.
Yeah.
But before we go,
yes.
Where can people find you?
Okay, so on Spotify, if you search Maidenfield, MAYDENFIELD, it should come up. I'm on Instagram as Maidenfield. I'm on YouTube as Maidenfield as well. And if you go right now to the NHK World website, you can see Soundscapes of Japan Episode 1 streaming now for free. It's a bit of a weird website address. If you want, I can give it to you. It's www.nhk.or.jp/nhkworld/em/english/on-demand/video/3004806. They made it nice and easy for us.
They sure did.
But
we'll try and make
Google
sure we can...
Soundscapes of Japan, NHK World, Maidenfield, that will come up. And it's free right now
to watch.
You can watch it while you're having dinner. And it's pretty nice. There's very little conversation. It's just ambient, you know, walking around beautiful areas of Japan, walking around factories, recording sounds, and then making the episode at the end. It's a different kind of show.
That's great. Everyone, definitely go check that out. And make sure you go check out Rusted Armor, too. And we will see you, Maidenfield, hopefully, in the future, back
sounds
again.
Sounds amazing. Very soon.
Episode.
Take care. I hope everyone stays nice and safe. Let's get through this. And in 6 months' time when we talk again, we're all on the beach somewhere, finally.
Yes, please. That is my hope, too. Yeah. Or we are at a beachside concert. Oh, I miss those so much.
I know. Oh. I know. Ah, me too.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Edward. Okay.
Been awesome.
You're welcome.
To talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
It was so great talking to you, too. All right.
Take care, listeners. Bye.
Diddly. Jane. There you go. Have you ever done any ambient sound recording, Dean?
I haven't.
And used it in like a track?
I haven't. No.
Yeah.
No, I can't say that
I don't think it's something that. I don't think that's something that like people come across very, very often. I know in like certain songs it's used, but it's definitely not used into its like full effect all the time. It's not like anyone's like setting up to do a full-on ambient track. The only people I can think of that do that would be people like Bjork, for example.
Right.
Famously does a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're thinking about video games, the idea of an ambient sound is actually very famously used in Final Fantasy VII in the battle theme. Because you got the whole... I'm not doing a very good impression, but it sounds like a hammer hitting metal, kind of. But obviously very, very synthesized because it was PlayStation 1.
Oh, right. Okay.
Shout out to my fans of FF7 and PlayStation 1, PSX. So those are ambient sounds that I think of. I think of them used sparingly or a way of like an embellishment, essentially. So to actually do what Maidenfield did and take a ambient sound and really build a whole song off of it, and not in like the typical way where you just loop something, where actually it is a very organic and real process, it's really, really cool to hear. So definitely everyone, if you can, go listen and watch Soundscapes of Japan. It's a very different show, but a very calming and relaxing show. And the music that comes out at the end is very inspiring and super creative, just like Maidenfield himself. Yeah,
and if you watch NHK World, you've probably seen JJ anyway, because he's been in a lot of programs on NHK World.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds really interesting. Yeah. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, you should, absolutely. So, listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, you should consider being a Patreon donor at jtop10.jp/club, starting at $1 a month. You can support our podcast and you get this episode and all other episodes ad and announcement free. But the thing is, though, if you do this, which we're very thankful and we love getting your donations and we greatly appreciate it, but you get to miss out on all the hilariousness that goes on behind the scenes when I read out ad copy and how much I mess it up. I mean, not that Dean's going to leave it in, but I mean, we have fun.
We do.
Yeah.
Do you want to know the latest Japanese music news for the brand new year of 2022? Join Tazzy, Christine, and Lydia in a week for a discussion on what is going on in the Japanese music world in our latest news episode.
Yes, ladies. You got Tassie, you got Lydia. They're back together again. Christine, she's new. Christine. She's amazing. She is a fellow Canadian, just like me. So I'm very excited to hear this episode. It's going to be really great.
Great.
So there you have it. Dean, thank you so much for letting me take the reins this month, kind of, as it were. And I'm glad you were here.
Yeah.
As usual, my compatriot, my partner in crime.
Partner in crime,
in the indie interview world.
Yes.
It's a real pleasure,
as ever. I've got a really exciting band lined up for March. Mm. I'm not going to tell you any more about that because you're just going to have to tune in, aren't you, Edward?
Oh, yeah, I am. It's true. Then in March, it's just going to be a double feature episode of you, probably. We got to even it out, you know?
Well, that's right. Yes, we got to balance it out. Yeah,
absolutely, we do. So there you go. We hope you enjoyed this episode 416 of Japan Top 10, Indie Artist Interview number 11 with Sleepwalk Skeleton and Maidenfield. I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Dean.
We'll see you next time. Jane.
Jane, bye, B.
Bye, B. Bye.
Bye.
Japan Top 10. The number one Japanese music podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.